morning. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. We are glad you are joining us. Our phone number is, put it in your phone, and that way you can call anytime, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Just got back from the most iconic flower show, the Chelsea Flower Show, and I am going to be talking to you about my favorite sites that I saw. Very exciting, and one of them is my dirty word of the day. And let's go ahead and play
now
that.
It's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And my dirty word of the day was inspired by the Chelsea Flower Show. And the term is tapestry lawn. Tapestry lawn. A tapestry lawn is made up of low-growing, often flowering plants that forms a patchwork of texture and color that also attracts pollinators and wildlife. It can become a standout feature in front or backyards, bringing an organic feel to informal, rewilded gardens, or creating the appealing contrast with modern hardscaping. It's valued for its natural look, sustainability, and improved resistance to pests, drought, and disease. Tapestry lawns offer many of the same benefits as wildflower meadows. Compared with traditional lawns, they need less water, mowing, and fertilizer, making them a more sustainable and environmentally friendly choice. Tapestry lawns that include nectar-rich flowers also benefit wildlife gardens. They support biodiversity and provide habitat for beneficial insects, pollinators, and other wildlife. So here are some of my choices for a tapestry lawn here in Florida. And Diane called earlier about ground covers for her front lawn that could handle drought and be sustainable. So these are a combination of sun-loving plants and also shade-loving plants. So check them out. Make sure you're getting the right ones. And if you want me to, I will be posting this on my Better Lawns and Gardens Facebook page. So, ajuga, aluminum plant, blue-eyed grass, which is a Florida native, chamomile, creeping buttercup, creeping juniper, blue forest, creeping Jenny, lots of creepers, creeping phlox, creeping rosemary, and creeping thyme, dichondra, frog fruit, ice plants, juniper bar harbor, licorice plants, mint, mondo grass, black mondo grass, pachysandra, polka dot plants, portulaca or purslane, seaside daisies, sedum angelinas, stone crop, and Florida violets, which are native, or Australian violets. These are really good choices to create a tapestry lawn. And if you will go to our Better Lawns and Gardens Facebook page later on today, I will have that posted. If you would like a list of those plants, please send me an email to teresa.watkins@live.com. Let's go to Polly in Oviedo. Good morning, Polly. How can I help you? Here we go. Oh, Polly, can you hear me?
Hey, yes, thank you so much for taking my call. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for calling.
Great. Okay, so I have two questions, but if you can only get to the one, that's fine.
Okay.
The first one is in regards to my flowers. I buy easy ones, so I buy vincas most of the time.
Vincas?
And I'm buying some different colors, and I'm finding that certain colors seem to be weaker than others, and I'm wondering, Is that so, like the bright pinks? I got, you guys are talking about oranges, I was telling Lizzie. And I got like a salamander color. I go to my local nursery here in Oviedo.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm not going to like Home Depot or anything. And they're just so, they don't produce. And I kind of get tired of having like the same bright pink, which is beautiful. But is there something to that, do you think?
Well, when they hybridize them, there can be varieties that are not as strong as the originals. The original ones from the 1950s and 60s that we saw everywhere on the beach and all those good places, that the white and the dark purple and the light purple and the pinks, they're usually a little bit stronger and they last longer than the hybridized ones.
Yeah, they last forever. I love those flowers. Yes. I'm not the greatest with it.
And they grow out of cement. They really literally can grow in cement.
It's true. Like it, or a blob of dirt or something.
Yes.
You see it growing. I see them hop from one plant to another, too.
Yes, they can.
I had it near a plant, and it'll jump into my, like my liriopes are going, and liriope, I love my liriopes because they're easy peasy, but they're having babies now, I call them.
Yep.
They've got all the big, beautiful cornflower, blue, whatever. Okay, so I'll just keep trying. That's okay. And then, if you have time for a second.
Yes, I do.
Question,
go right ahead.
Okay. Okay. So I've got St. Augustine. It's palmetto, basically.
Okay.
And it was, it had come back from all the terrible freeze and it was looking beautiful. And all of a sudden I started seeing the sort of yellows and browns. And when I looked down close and picked it out and figured out it's fungus.
Yeah.
And I'm really good about my water. Like if it's raining, I will not irrigate, which is only twice a week. I do it. It's 15 minutes per zone.
Uh-huh.
I have four zones.
Okay.
And I will turn it off. And so I'm feeling like, I don't know how it got this, but it does have it. And so I'm going to lay down the granules. I got S-stop.
Okay.
I don't know if you know what that is,
yes.
But that was what they told me to get.
Uh-huh.
And I went ahead and watered this morning. I mowed yesterday, watered this morning to get it ready because I don't want to be watering too much after I lay it.
Right.
So it doesn't go away. And I'm going to lay down the granules. Is that basically all there is to it? And will it come back? I mean, it's probably like, I would say 50% of the lawn.
Okay. That's a really great question, Polly. Let me answer that when I come back. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and we have Polly from Oviedo, and she has a beautiful palmetto lawn, and she has noticed that it's starting to get fungus, and she doesn't overwater. In fact, she makes sure that when it does rain, she turns it off. So what's going on? So Polly, good morning. Are you still here?
Yes, I am. Thank
okay,
you.
Wonderful. Okay, what time of the day do you water at?
Well, if I wake up at 5, I'll do it at 5 in the morning. I try to do it. I just did it this morning at 6. And I only did it because if I lay down the fungus control, I just didn't want to water. So anyway, it's my watering day. Blah, blah, blah. So anyway, anywhere between 5 and 8.
Okay, great. Oh, super. You're doing exactly right. Okay, so here's the hard part about living in Florida. We can garden every day. We can grow beautiful flowers. We can grow nice lawns. We have great golf. But we also have all the conditions that you need to have fungus. We have the humidity. We have the pathogen. We have the fungal pathogens that cause disease. And then we also have the rainfall or irrigation. So if your lawn is getting fungus and you're watering correctly, we can only attribute it to that you're getting rainfall at night, which causes the fungal disease. Because if the plant, your lawn or shrub is wet longer than 5 hours, it's going to get disease issues. Okay. So the good news is that you can't cure a fungus, but you can prevent it. So now that you know that your lawn and it's palmetto is a shade tolerant variety. Do you have a lot of shade?
No. And in fact, the nursery told me because I have a lot of, because it's a west exposure on the front where
uh-huh.
the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
My back of my house is east and the front is west. So by the time, 1 o'clock comes, it's getting some full on sun. But I do have two giant sycamores in the front. So there is a lot of shade there, but there's patches where it does get through
right.
like the easement and everything.
Okay, so you do have shade. Okay, because palmetto is a shade-tolerant turf. And so that would mean you need to water even less. Okay. And so during the summertime, your lawn, you know, with rainfall, even without rainfall, with every week, you can go 10 to 14 days in the wintertime without watering. Okay, so what I would suggest that you do is, now that you know that you're going to get fungus there, you preventively put down a fungicide in the early spring, and then again in May and June, and then again in August, September. Okay, and putting that fungicide down will prevent the fungus. So you can't cure it, but you can prevent it.
How can I get it, the lawn, to look better then? It's like 50% brown with the fungus everywhere.
Right. It will recover. Okay. It just makes take some time. And palmetto doesn't really grow back well very quickly. So it is going to take a few months. Now, if you don't want to wait that long, you can just resod it. But I suggest that you just mow it, put down the fungicide, and it's going to recover within the next few months.
So do it today and then wait 2 more months, you said, till August?
Wait, yeah, August, so September. Yeah, 3 months. Month. I would do it quarterly.
Quarterly, okay.
Okay, quarterly.
And as it mows and it grows, it should start to go away, hopefully.
It will go away.
What's the better St. Augustine choice? Why are they telling me palmetto, and maybe I shouldn't be using palmetto?
No, palmetto, if you've got shade, that would be the right one to use. There's lots of shade-tolerant turfs, but it's something that will happen in all St. Augustine lawns, you know, especially with the rainfall.
Okay,
so you're doing everything correctly. Just let it recover, and then you'll be fine. Just use the fungicide preventatively. Now that you know you're going to get it in those areas, you don't have to do your entire lawn, just those areas that are getting the fungal disease, okay?
Okay, and the granular's okay?
Granular's fine. Granular's fine.
I like to do granular because I'm a hand person, so I throw it out like I'm feeding my chickens.
Okay.
Lightly.
Well, no. Okay, so here's the other thing then. You're saying lightly. I want you to follow the label. Okay, so you may not be putting down enough. So if it says a quarter cup or half a cup, you may not be getting that in your hand, okay?
So it says like 1 pound for 1,000 square feet or something. I'm like, how am I going to, I have to really measure out the lawn? I guess I do.
Yeah. Math's a problem for Americans. I appreciate that. But you could, the chemical, okay, that you have, your fungicide, has an 800 number on it, okay? And you can call them Monday through Friday, and sometimes they'll answer even on the weekends. Call them and ask them, here's my size of my yard, how much should I use?
It's like calling the turkey line at Thanksgiving.
There you go.
How do I defrost my frozen turkey?
Exactly. They're always there to help you, every chemical that's on the market, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. I love your show. Thanks for all the tips.
All right, hon. Take care. Bye-bye. Let's go to Michael in Melbourne. Good morning, Michael. How can I help you?
Good morning, ma'am. First of all, we really, when you're gone, we think you're gone too many times, and the show's not original too many times during the year. So, first of all, I'd like you to cut back on your vacations and on your fun.
I agree.
However, if you do go... we would like you to demand that Lizzie come in and talk to us so we feel at least at home again, so she can have a little bit of extra money for Christmas coming up. But she needs to come in but we miss you both. So thank you very much. I got a real specific, simple question. I've been raising from seedlings some mangoes, and I have 4 seedlings. That they now have they're 3 feet tall, and they have what you are called suckers, I guess you call them, and where they come out of the seed.
Yes.
They're still your seedlings. So I cut those off because I've heard you several times over the past 150 years tell everybody that they needed to, cut the seedling off. But here's my specific question. I've never had this before, and all the time I've been raising mangoes over here in Melbourne Beach, the cold really zapped all my trees. However, as you said so intelligently, not to do anything as long as there were leaves on it. Well, most of them, the leaves were all brown, but every single one's coming back.
Yay.
Here's the question. How do you know the difference between a sucker and the leaves. They're leaves. They're not even branches yet, but they're from 2 or 3 inches above the ground all the way to the real lightly leaved stalk. And some of these trees are like 8, 10 feet, and they're just full of leaves. It looks like a popsicle stick 10 feet long with some leaves on it. No branches yet. So are those suckers also?
Well, suckers is a term of, you know, of a graft, plants that have a graft. And the sucker comes out from below the graft. So if your mangoes are from the seed, there really is no suckers. Okay. And so suckers come up on a different area. So you have some plants that sucker and they'll sucker out 3 feet away and they'll pop up again, or the oak tree suckers from its above ground roots. Okay. So anything that is above the ground and they're not grafted, you can kind of leave, but you'll want to, if they're 3 foot tall, and you say you have some that are 8 to 10 foot tall.
Yes, ma'am. And they're like a popsicle stick with just the leaves, no branches.
Okay.
It's the darndest thing.
Okay, so you can actually prune that to become more rounded, okay? And here's what I need you to do. You're going to want to cut diagonally, okay, right above a node, okay? So where the leaves are coming out, you want to cut diagonally right above it. If it's a single stalk, and that's going to cause it to open up and grow more branches.
Yeah, they are single stalk.
Okay.
So now do I put some kind of a, like they used to put tar and all kinds of different stuff on it, you know?
We don't do that anymore. No, that was torture.
Okay,
we don't need to do that.
Miss you, girl. Glad both of you are back. And like I say, you got to give Lizzie a little bit more time.
We do. And I will tell you that Tom McCubbin is going to be filling in for me, so you'll be able to speak to Tom. And he's going to be filling in for me when I take some of these adventures.
I know you wouldn't believe it. Listen to him for 20 years, maybe longer than that. Thank you so very much. Thank you, Lizzie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Michael, thank you for listening. That is wonderful. I appreciate it. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. That was very nice, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
We love Michael.
We
I'm
do.
Telling you what.
So John in Palm Bay, he says, hi, Teresa. Is there anything I can do about my neighbor's torpedo grass creeping into my St. Augustine lawn? I've tried pulling it, but it seems to come back thicker where I pulled it. Am I doomed to have torpedo grass take over my lawn? Thank you. Well, John, thank you for texting. And I'm just going to tell you, there is no herbicide for torpedo grass in St. Augustine lawns. Okay, so anything you put down is going to kill your St. Augustine lawn. So here is my remedy, my kind of suggestion to you. Where your neighbor's lawn is, I want you to take out 2 to 3 feet of the grass there. And I want you to go down about a foot. And I want you to kill that grass part there. And you can either do a bamboo barrier there. You can do metal edging there. But you're going to want to divide that property so that you can spray or use a chemical in that area on shrubs or plants. You can even plant a shrub plant there that the torpedo grass you can block it. Okay, so divide your St. Augustine grass from your neighbor's area by 2 to 3 feet. Dig down. You can put a bamboo barrier there, 60 mil is what I recommend, and go down and have it between your lawn and your neighbor's, and that will prevent the torpedo grass from going in. But you can also, I would try and talk to your neighbor to see about getting it killed, you know, that he kind of helps you with it and gets rid of it in his lawn too as well. So you can use glyphosate, or you can use another chemical. Email me, John, in Palm Bay, and I'll give you some of the list of the other chemicals that we can use. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680, like Bob and Mike in Maine, and then also Rusty in Cairo, Georgia. We're going to be getting right to you. But let's go to Jeff in Orlando first. Good morning, Jeff. How can I help you?
Good morning. First-time listener. Love the show. So recently I planted three azaleas near my swimming pool, 3-gallon pot encores. And before I planted them, I put down a soil conditioner to acidify the soil in case the chlorine upset the pH balance.
Okay.
And then when I planted them, I put down a potting soil that was a combination of bat guano and worm casing.
Wow.
I planted those. And then waited 2 months, and then I put down an azalea fertilizer, hoping to see some flower buds, but I'm not seeing any yet. What are my expectations on flowering these encore azaleas?
Okay, so is your pool in full sun? Is that area full sun?
Oh, yeah, good question. No, they're kind of what I got. It's under two oak trees, get indirect sunlight and a little bit of dappled sunlight.
Okay, that's going to be your issue. Encore azaleas, to get the repeat blooms, need full sun.
Oh, no.
Yes. I'm so sorry, right. but do you have an area in your yard that you can get full sun?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay, so you can move them. So they bloom three times a year, spring, summer, and fall. And so you should be, what I would like you to do is don't try so hard. They you know, just make sure the pH is about 4.5, 5.5, and you can use like an Espoma soil acidifier. And then, so right now it's trying to recover. 2 months is a little early for to make sure that they're getting in bloom. And remember, we had that really hard freeze. So I would say just a little bit of patience. They may bloom for you. But if they don't by the end of summer, by the end of August, I would move them.
Perfect. That's what I needed to know.
Okay.
So I was concerned about the sun. I was thinking about setting up a mirror and shining some light in there on them. But
you worked too hard on your garden. I don't know.
All right.
Thank you, Jeff, for listening.
I love you.
Oh, thank you so much. Bye-bye. That's a lot of work.
But that's a lot of good care.
I love it when people take care of their gardens. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Okay, so let's go to our text messages. And if you have a garden call, we are still taking questions. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680. So Bob in Plant City. Good morning, Bob. I resodded about 2 months ago with St. Augustine. My neighbor's yard is full of Spanish needle. They're starting to come up in my new St. Augustine. Is there a way for me to control them in my new sod? Wow. Okay, so what is it about neighbors not taking care of their yards? And so...
All right.
And so, Bob, what you need to do is, again, those seeds are spraying, or they're being blown into your yard by wind. They could be coming in from animals. So even cars spread them through as they're driving down the road. So what you can do is make sure that you get them before they go to flower in your yard. And if you're keeping your yard mowed every, 7 to 10 days, during the summertime, there really shouldn't be a problem. Now, if they're getting to that point where they're growing in your yard and blooming, that's a long time. So are they growing in the median areas or in a garden bed, or are they growing in your turf? Okay, so that's what I would like to know. But I just would keep your lawn mowed. That's going to keep it from going to seed, and eventually it should die out again. But I would do a barrier there between your neighbor's yard and you, just like I was telling John in Palm Bay. Do a 2 to 3 foot barrier there where you can break the wind. You can delineate your yard from your neighbor's yard, and you can spray that area with an herbicide if you need to, or at least be able to pull them out and they're not getting into your yard. Okay, that's very important. So, if you're mowing on a regular basis weekly, they shouldn't even grow. They should, you know, not go to flower. You definitely don't want them to go to seed. Okay, let me know what you do. And if you have some more questions on it, I'd be happy to just text me right back. Okay, we'll do it. So Mike is in Maine. Mike and Lori are visiting family in Maine, and they're listening to us this morning. They woke up to 43-degree temperatures, 25-mile-per-hour winds, and rain. And now he remembers, Lizzie, why he left Maine 50 years ago. He's visiting family and friends, and he's listening to the show. He's thinking that that will help warm him up. So, Mike, we miss you. Thank you so much for checking in.
Yes.
Maine is beautiful. And I love the 45 degrees. I really do.
Yep, I'm doing my countdown, man. I can't wait for us to get going. So I love me some Maine.
There you go. So good morning, Rusty. Rusty's in Cairo, Georgia. He said, I planted 2 plum trees in the spring. How often should I fertilize them and with what? Thanks. And so thank you for listening, Rusty, in Cairo, Georgia. If you, you know, depending on the size of the tree, you're going to want to put down about a half a pound to a pound of fertilizer per caliper inch. Okay, so, you know, if the trees are 2 to 3, 4 inches, then you're going to want to put about, you know, 5 to 8 pounds of fertilizer down. You can use a regular 666-888-10-10-10. You don't really need to do a very specialized fertilizer for plum trees. I'd like to know what kind of plums they are, whether they're Gulf plums or whether they're Chickasaw plums, you know, what kind of plum tree they are. But you can just put down a regular balanced fertilizer on them every 3 months or so. That's going to give them the nutrition they need to produce the fruit. Should be really easy. Plums are easy to grow. So no big worries on that. So I would do it quarterly or whatever according to your label. If you're using like a 6-month label like Dynamite, then that would be every 6 months, which I recommend for people who are here in Florida that are only here 6 months out of the year or 4 months out of the year. They can put a fertilizer down when they come, when they arrive in the fall or winter. And then when they leave, they can apply it again, and it works all summer long. So slow-release fertilizer is the best way to do it. Thank you for your question, Rusty. I do appreciate it. We're going to be right back with more of your gardening questions. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Got a wonderful email from Georgette, and she has the prettiest picture of a tomato hornworm. And she's going, what is it, and how do I take care of it? And it, Georgette, it's a tomato hornworm, and you can use Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, and that will take care of your caterpillar issue. Let's go to Bobby in Palm Coast. Good morning, Bobby. How can I help you? Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I want to give you a quick update on my stuff and then a question or two.
Okay.
So most all of my stuff that survived is not just surviving, it's now thriving.
Oh.
It's like extra leaves. They're bigger, they're thicker, they're greener. Most all of my plumerias are like doubled down, and if they haven't bloomed, they're getting ready to bloom.
Aww.
Like my blackberry jam bush actually is thicker and has a big flower bud forming right now.
Oh, wonderful. That is great news, Bobby. I mean, it just shows you that, you know, sometimes with a lot of stress, if you're just patient, your plants will come back and do well.
Yeah. And my big plumeria that didn't make it, I think I'm going to put a papaya.
A papaya? Okay, super.
Yeah.
That will
now,
do well.
I got a question with grapevines. Now, maybe someone else listening has a better suggestion, but these, I bought my property, I moved to the mainland, and I have a huge section that was just wild. Everybody, they didn't even realize it was part of the property.
Wow.
So it's an extra, like, 25 feet. But it's filled with grapevines.
Mm-hmm.
Filled.
Muscadine.
And they're in the ground. The top, like, 3-4 inches is nothing but these grapevine roots shooting over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I'm trying to get rid of so I can turn that to my garden space.
Sure. So you want to get rid of those vines?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a product called Brush Be Gone. Okay. And it gets rid of the vines, yeah, and just follow the label, and it will do a great job.
Okay.
Okay.
And any other, since we've been, everyone's talking about lawns, any suggestion for grass starts? Because mine is mixed with nothing.
And so you want help with what? Grass what?
Well, like what seeds?
Oh, so the seeds, you can't get seeds for St. Augustine, but you can get seed for, you know, Bermuda and centipede and also Bahia grass. So, you know.
What about this zoysia?
Zoysia? Yeah, there's no seeds for that. You have to use plugs or sod.
Okay.
But if you get the Bahia, you want the Argentina Bahia, not the Pensacola.
Oh.
You know how it gets those Y seeds? Well, you know how you get the Y seeds on Bahia grass? Well, the Pensacola produces like double the amount of Y seeds. And so, you know, you can mow your lawn one day and about 3 days later, you've got to mow it again because of those Y seeds. Argentina Bahia grass still has them, but not as many. So you can kind of get away with a little bit longer in between mowings.
So less love bugs.
Yes. Thank you so much, Bobby. I appreciate the update. I'm so proud of you. That's wonderful. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. Fine, thank you. I have a question on compost. I was composting mostly horse manure, but it got contaminated from the horse farm, and they went out of business. But what I'm using now is replacing it with cardboard and paper and stuff like this, because there's a lot of it available because of the everybody ordering by mail.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, is that okay? And is it acid when it composts?
No.
Which is what I need.
Yeah, no. I'm really not a big fan. Paper, newspaper, and paper that doesn't have ink on it is okay for the compost. Cardboard is not.
Yeah.
Cardboard is not. Cardboard doesn't, you know, it depends on what type of cardboard it is, but it kind of blocks the airflow in the ground. Doesn't really mix well in compost piles. It doesn't really disintegrate. Okay, now if it's just a regular cardboard that has a lot, not serrated, but the kind of holes in the cardboard that allow it to get air into it, and you cut it up really fine, then that may not be a bad. But I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing is, you know, cutting it up quite a bit.
Okay.
Because it's the stuff from China, it's pretty light sometimes, you know.
Yeah, but if it has any kind of wax on it, if it has any kind of wax or any kind of protective layer on it, then that's not going to be good. You don't want to use that kind of cardboard.
Yeah, I looked into pine bark because if they say it's acid,
yes,
one of the best used by blueberry growers.
Mm-hmm. Pine fines.
Is there a substitute for that?
No, pine fines.
Expensive.
Well, pine fines are really good. Pine fines. Mm-hmm. Yes, pine fines is really shredded up pine bark.
Mm-hmm.
And once you put it in, Jerry, though, if you just make a little bit of effort and just put it in the holes, about 3 to 4 inches of pine fines, you don't have to really do it again, because then you're going to feed the blueberries, you know, or the acidic plants that you have with an acidic fertilizer. And that will help. You don't necessarily need to keep putting down the pine vines.
Painting fertilizer for like azaleas and blueberries, that would be the best choice.
That would.
And then just do like this pine fines. Is that, how expensive is that pine fines?
If you were planting 200, it would be a little bit of expensive. But if you're only planting 3 or 4 or 5, you can get one bag, and that should, one 20-pound to 40-pound bag, and that should do it just fine.
Oh, okay. And that's readily available?
It is. It is readily available from the box stores and even private nurseries, mom-and-pop nurseries.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay, I will do that. And, oh, I'd like to thank you for the Roselle recipe.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. I did it just for you.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome, Jerry. Take care, hon. Let's go to Alan in Mount Verde. Good morning, Alan. How can I help you?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. I'm really amazed at this wet stuff's falling from the sky. We're usually turning on an electric motor or a diesel and pulling it out of the ground. And it's really amazing. It's like, you know, I forget what it is. Hey, a more satirical. Quick question for you. Three things. Cosmos and zinnias. Is it too late to plant those?
No. Go ahead and put them in.
Good. Second question is, back in March or so, you were talking about post-freeze damages and people, what to plant, all this. You were talking about a type of rose that I think it came out of New Orleans that survived all the flooding and all
yes.
the salt water and everything. What was that variety? And you said that was one of your top five picks for roses?
Yeah, the Hurricane Katrina rose. It's called the Peggy Martin rose.
Peggy Martin. Okay.
Peggy Martin.
That's what I wanted to think of. And that will do, that's on Fortuna rootstock, or
it doesn't,
how are they?
It doesn't need to be. And I will tell you, you know, too, Alan, we're not really doing a lot of the Fortuna rootstocks anymore. I mean, Nelson's Roses is really great, and they're on the Fortuna rootstock.
Right.
But the Peggy Martin doesn't need to be.
Okay.
Okay?
Third thing was, quick question on cardboard. I've been using cardboard, heavy sheets of cardboard down for years, and I get a tremendous good weed block. And I'm, of course, I'm on sandy soil, and I don't care if you put 20 tons per acre, it'll take 10 years before your soil builds up on the hills of the ridge area. So I've used just cardboard down and put my black synthetic that the landscapers use down, and it really lasts 4 or 5 years before it deteriorates, and it does a really good job on weed block for the most part. And by the time it deteriorates down, it's, you know, 5 years from now, I don't have to really worry. And I do get good water filtration, apparently, through it. It gets soaked enough that it's like a drip sponge kind of thing. So,
okay.
Just for a quick peck kick out on that, love listening to you. I told your skull caller, it's amazing. You get up early, 4 o'clock in the morning, and he's like, oh, you go out in your yard. Next thing you know, it's like, oh, they're on. I got to, you know, catch the last
We can always
minutes,
listen
so.
To the podcast, Alan. So thank you so
Keep
much. All right, hon. Take care. Thank you for calling. We've just got a few minutes left. Lizzie, we want to thank all the callers and everything. I'm so glad.
Yes, thank you so much for giving us a call. You guys make our day.
So I didn't get through all of my things that I saw at Chelsea's show that I wanted to talk about, but I will talk about this one. When I was there, it blew my mind that, you know how you can get a pallet of sod for your lawn?
Yes.
They had pallets of meadow grass and sod, the wildflowers already in the sod. You can go onto our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens, and you can see pictures of it. I want somebody in Florida to start growing some grass, bahia grass, that already has wildflowers growing in it so that we can buy a sod of meadow.
And
a pallet of meadow.
And it's like not like the super tall wildflowers, but they're like low.
Did you see it? Isn't it
gorgeous?
It's gorgeous, but that's a whole pallet there. Isn't that incredible? Thank you so much to all our callers today. I certainly appreciate it. Lizzie, I couldn't do this without you, hon. I so appreciate you.
Aw, thank you. Thank you to our listeners. You guys rock and make our day.
There you go. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if you have ticks and fleas, you need to get Summit Responsible Solution products and mosquito bits and dunks. From the Summit Responsible Solution Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.